My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Trey Reckling is the founder of the Academy of Cannabis Science, which partnered with the Cannabis Institute at Seattle Central College to provide professional cannabis education and training for the industry. The Academy has also partnered with the Last Prisoner Project, committing to donating a substantial amount of scholarships to formerly incarcerated cannabis offenders. Trey has helped train medical marijuana consultants in Washington State and other industry professionals from throughout the U.S. and Canada. His cannabis education articles have appeared in Men's Health Magazine, Salon.com, The Fresh Toast, Stoner Magazine, and Canna Health Magazine, and more. He has worked in higher education for the last 20 years, specializing in staff training, student development, conflict resolution, and crisis management. He served on the board of directors for the Washington Marijuana Association and the Education Committee for the Cannabis Alliance, and he's with me right now. Welcome back, Trey, to Cannabis Radio.
Thanks, Vivian. Good to have you. Or nice to be on, rather.
Absolutely, man. You were previously on the show in May of 2018 when the Academy was just getting started. So much has happened in the last 5 years. But let's just begin by having you reintroduce us by telling us the who, what, when, where, and why of the Academy of Cannabis Science.
Sure thing. Actually, we got started in late part of 2015 as the what's called the Patient Protection Act went into place that kind of was supposed to reignite the fire of medical cannabis here in Washington State. So that's when we partnered with Seattle Central College to develop the first medical cannabis consultant program in the country, and the first also approved by our Washington Department of Health. And so happy to do that with them. And it did so well. They're like, is there anything else we can teach about cannabis? And I was like, oh, there's so much. So they were an early adopter and really brave in the space. And then since we've also partnered with Highline College and with UNLV. And because everything's online, we've been really pleased to attract students well outside of the states that we operate in. So we've since had students from Guam to a group of veterinarians in New Delhi who wanted to learn about our cannabis and pets program. And so it's really nice, especially folks being in India, to kind of bring that full circle, since cannabis had some of its earliest roots in that part of the world, to be able to share some of this knowledge back. So it's been a fantastic voyage of sorts, and we just continue to learn. We just recently got into the broadening our plant medicine offerings by offering a class in psilocybin therapy. So it's been exciting. It's been fun, and we continue to learn and to teach.
Thanks, Trey, for correcting me on that date. I must have read my previous notes wrong. How much has changed in the world of cannabis science since you were on the show previously? In your opinion, how much progress has been made in understanding the plant, the human endocannabinoid system, its cultivation, and the benefits of cannabis since you were on last?
Boy, it's interesting. You know, from a couple of perspectives, from the scholastic or kind of academic research side, we just continue to get so much more information. You know, so for folks that follow PubMed or Google Scholar would be, you know, very aware that there's a tremendous amount of research, and has been, but there continues to be a lot more research. So that helps everybody involved. And then just from a kind of pedestrian point of view, the knowledge from users, enthusiasts, just person on the street has gotten so much better. I mean, as you know, just in the last, I don't know, few years, people have realized the sativa indica thing were convenient names, but really didn't get us anywhere, right? It's a much deeper conversation about what that cultivar is and what its terpenes and cannabinoid ratios are and what they, you know, the benefits they may bring individual patients. But just stuff like that, just the general population being more aware of CBD, for instance. You know, cannabis might not be a gateway drug, but CBD is kind of the gateway to understanding more about a cannabis, as we say. So it's nice to, you know, hear senior citizens talk about, oh yeah, I'm using cannabis topicals now, and I'm just using CBD because I don't want to get high. But, you know, what a great gift for more people in the general population to find medicine that's that aren't opioids, that aren't ITSED medicines that we both know are so much more dangerous and potentially complicated than cannabis is. So in that light, I think it's been fantastic. We're so far from where we want to be legally. And, you know, I think we always have to remember that not only are there a number of states that have yet to come online, but, you know, there continue to be, what, at least 50,000 Americans in jails, in U.S. jails for so-called cannabis offenses. So the work is far from done, but the progress is noteworthy, I think.
Just the normalization of cannabis and the demystification of it has really, really expanded, do you think? Do you agree?
Oh, for sure. I mean, but think about what we're working against. You know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but, right. You know, 80 some odd years of multi-million dollar funded scare campaigns and a prohibitionist thinking and propaganda that, you know, we're having to untangle now because some people really believe that stuff. And so it's an uphill battle in some cases, you know, some cases where we talk to patients who are just still really afraid or customers who are afraid when they walk into a store because they're so used to historically looking over their shoulder or know people in their family, especially communities of color, you know, that the laws have just decimated individuals and families and entire communities. So, yeah. So much work to do, but I think, you know, we're making progress, right? We'll make, like everything, a couple steps forward and a step back. You know, we've got some things to work out, but I think it is pretty tremendous the change that we've seen collectively just in the last 5 to 8 years.
Can you briefly talk about, you know, well, let me just preface this, the best way to combat the disinformation is with the cannabis science, right? The science of it all. Can you briefly talk about your courses at the Academy?
Oh, of course. And so, and I think, you know, science is, you know, where we separate the fact from the fiction. And because there are, you know, a lot of true believers who are fully behind the use of cannabis, have used it for a long time, can talk about the benefit it's brought to them individually or friends of theirs. But it's the stats, it's the research that really helps change hearts and minds that much more, you know, and it's what we really have to, I think, base our conversations on, our educational approaches on. For our academic partners, of course, it's essential. We have to be teaching things that can be backed up, that are cited, that people can do deeper dives and find out, hey, what was that research? What was that study comprised of? You know, how reliable is this information? And so, you know, we always have to do our due diligence on that side. But the hunger from our students and the passion about this topic is really exciting, you know, and we always hear stories of people who say, hey, you know, I wasn't aware of the endocannabinoid system before I became a student. And I'm talking to this relative and that relative or these patients or recreational users in the store, and they didn't know. And it's changed the way they talk about how cannabis affects them or could affect them. And so, It's exciting and I think important to be able to introduce some really foundational concepts like the endocannabinoid system, you know, like terpenes, like cannabinoid ratios, like I mentioned, to folks that, you know, may be willing to be convinced or want to have more information, but just maybe don't know where to start.
We are up against the first break here in about a little under 60 seconds. Very quickly, can you just give us an idea about the faculty at the Cannabis Academy of Science?
Absolutely. Yeah, we started with physicians. So we work with Dr. Juliana Giles, Dr. Duncan Lynch, our two naturopaths that we work with. We've also worked with folks like Dr. Uma Dhanabalan, Dr. Pejman Batty, who led the Nevada Medical Physicians Association. We've worked recently with Dr. Nathan Sackett, who's the director for the Center for Novel Therapeutics and Addiction Psychiatry at University of Washington. Then we have great folks like Mary J. White, a chef and cookbook author, Jessica Struford, a respiratory specialist, Farmer Tom Lauerman, Olga Hall, who's a holistic nurse out of Detroit. So it's really nice. We're able to bring a lot of diverse, well-informed perspectives to the table.
Great. And several of those folks have been on this show. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with our second segment for Trey Reckling.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back with Trey Reckling from the Academy of Cannabis Science. Trey, the cannabis industry has grown in the last half decade, as has the availability of legal retail cannabis in America. How important, or maybe list a few ways that science of cannabis intersects with the retail industry?
Absolutely. You know, I think an important one that we're not talking enough about, one, on the first hand, is, like I've mentioned earlier, is how we're talking about the product. For so long, it was the indica sativa hybrid model, and you know, unfortunately, some employees, that's all the language they have. So we school our staff to be much more engaged than that, have more modern vocabulary and scientific ways of looking at different cannabis cultivars and how to talk about those, how to underpromise and overdeliver, we hope, on when they're talking about therapies and potential impact. But another thing we're really not talking about that I believe this is essential in this space is trauma-informed care. And that's a language or a practice, scientific way of looking at folks who've experienced trauma, because we know that the majority of Americans have experienced trauma, maybe 70%, and it affects our brain. It affects the way we function and the way we hear and communicate with folks. And we know the cannabis industry and people who enjoy cannabis have experienced a collective trauma, you know, from imprisonment sometimes just from harassment, from unfair laws, et cetera. So I think that's a conversation really worthy of having, because, you know, we see it on the front surface level with new customers coming into stores and being paranoid about, hey, where's the car parked? Who's going to see me in here? Will this affect my social standing or the way people talk about me? I mean, those things are still very real for folks. You know, will somebody from my church see me walking out with a cannabis product? You know, I'm a government employee, or I'm a licensed healthcare professional. In some states, using cannabis can affect your certification, your legal standing to practice your craft, your healthcare skills. And so we think it's important to consider this language or this understanding of especially consumers in the space, because we can control how we receive and communicate with folks. And this is it's a method that started in the healthcare realm. It's been around for decades, and it's proven to be effective as far as helping people be more empathetic, be more sensitive to the needs and kind of understanding individuals. And it's empowering. And sadly, there are very, very few cannabis brands, retail spaces that are having this conversation. You know, it's almost as if we're selling any other product, and we're not selling any other product. And so just on top of all the challenges that people are trying to deal with in their health and taking cannabis and with a medical intent, for that reason alone, I think it's an important conversation to have. But we just have a whole lot of catching up to do. And our students are going to be ahead of the ball, because that's something that we're passionate about. It's something that I've, over the last 2+ years, have had the honor of schooling state employees of Oregon on trauma-informed care, and it's something that we're bringing to the...
When it comes to home insurance, GEICO works for you. And since I'm the GEICO Gecko, I work for you too.
Hey, Gecko, could you DJ my workout?
I got you, Derek. I know you like them sweet beats on leg day. Great home gym, by the way.
That's fire, Gecko.
I call this remix. Bundle your home and car insurance so you can save and get coverage that grows with you.
Oh yeah, rolls right off the tongue. And you know what else I like? Oh yeah!
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
Space for our folks, and we hope to make a splash and that those ripples spread, you know, and other people understand the need for that.
Kind of along those lines, In your opinion, how important is it for someone seeking employment in the cannabis industry to choose a cannabis employer whose values match their own as a prospective employee? Why would that be an issue?
Thanks for asking that. Just like any employer, they come in all types, and the values don't always align. Sometimes, as we know, some people are just here for the green rush. They could care less about patients. They could care less about how they deliver their services and are really about the bottom line. And that doesn't, some people are willing to go work in that environment and other people have higher expectations. We really encourage our students. Many of our students are looking for a professional change or maybe an entry level, their first professional job, whatever the case is. We really try to coach folks up and encourage them. Don't be so anxious to get into the space that you compromise, that you're willing to work for somebody whose values are not similar to your own. And that might mean working a little bit harder, doing a few more interviews, having a little bit more patience. And we know, depending on somebody's life situation, they might not have the benefit of doing those things. But we really want to let folks know that there are brands, there are individuals out there worthy of working for, and there are others that don't deserve your time, right? Because they're not serving our community in a way that they could. And so that's a conversation we have frequently. Now, how do you get to the bottom line and know what people value? Because sometimes their marketing messages are strong, but the marketing messages don't always align with what's going on behind the scenes. I've seen that myself. I've been part of that myself, as far as working with companies that say one thing and do another. So, not here to badmouth any particular brands, but really want to encourage both brands to be better, to, as we say, reflect the values of this plant. We know what are the inherent values of this medicinal plant, this sacred medicine, but not everybody feels that way. So we encourage our students to do some market research. Hey, what are they saying about what they value? And then how can you talk to former employees? How can you check on Glassdoor, for instance, to see what people are, how their former employees are evaluating them as a place to work? Because that's critical. Life is too precious to spend it with folks that that underserve the value of this plant, in my opinion. And so we're trying to just help folks to avoid those missteps. And then when they misstep, or if they misstep and work for somebody and just don't see a fit, encourage them to keep looking. We hope nobody will feel trapped in a situation where they have to go along to get along. But I think it's a critical question to ask. And unfortunately, some people are just so hungry to get into this industry, they don't ask those questions, or they put up with a lot of garbage, or compromise their own values. And so, whether you're a young person or an older person, or whatever your case may be, we believe and try to encourage folks that there's somebody out there that you're really going to gel with, that you're going to be able to get behind. But that's an important part of the job search that we really try to emphasize and try to encourage people to be patient with as much as they're able.
You kind of touched on, when you're talking about trauma-informed care, you kind of touched on the fact that there's still a lot of Americans that live in states where cannabis is not illegally available. Who can enroll in the academy, and how would somebody go about doing that? Can people in other states take your courses?
Oh, great question. Yeah, Viv, the reason we did our online approach is for equal access, equity of access to our program. So whether you live in a very progressive state like Washington or Colorado or California, or if you live in Idaho, Iowa, somewhere else that's not coming online yet, you're able to take our classes. Now, we're not going to encourage you to do anything illegal, but for instance, we'll teach you to grow weed. We don't care where you live. We're also going to encourage you to follow the laws in your area. You can still have that knowledge. So when it does happen, we hope, in your state, in your area, you're going to be ahead of the curve. We work with a number of students who say, hey, for instance, Missouri. We had some students from Missouri before things went live, and they're like, hey, it's coming. We want to be ready. how can you help us be prepared to be the best candidates for jobs when doors open? So we love that kind of challenge, right? We can do that. We can get them there. And like I said, it's that balance of making sure we share what we know, that we're also learning from people in those areas, right? In new upcoming states that are coming online, there's a lot to be learned. We know every state program is different. Products are different. Laws are different. So there's a lot to negotiate, but there's a lot of fun in that challenge as well. So like I said, we've had students from Guam, we've had students from Transylvania, from Austria, you name it. And it's really nice to have such a diverse can of family that they can compare notes. When we do a number of live chats every quarter. And so no matter what class you're in, you are able to sit in this collective cohort with people who are taking all the classes. And so they can compare notes and ask questions and do, you know, this cross-pollination of education we talk about. And it's as easy as going to our website at www.academyofcannabisscience.com. And you can enroll there and get started right away. And so that's nice. You don't have to wait for an academic term to start. And then also, once you're enrolled, there's no true deadline. Some of our academic partners have deadlines for the end of a term, but we're going to continue to give you access to the material and be able to still get a certificate of completion. So we try to be flexible in that way.
Awesome. We're going to take another quick break and come back with our final segment for Trey Reckley.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
And we're back with Trey Reckling. Trey, SMJ Consulting is an organization dedicated to erasing the stigma of cannabis use in modern society by focusing on educating patients and medical professionals on the various options of cannabinoid therapy. You help lead the cannabis donation project with SMJ Consulting to address the industry's product waste problem. What's that all about?
Yeah, you know, it was a kind of a pilot program, and it was started by Mary Brown, who founded SMJ Consulting, and in their role, they really serve as an important bridge between what's sold in the retail stores and medical professionals. So often they're consulting with medical professionals who are open to cannabis use, but don't know exactly about dosing or product selection. So they're serving that critical role. But in that work, they realized that a lot of patients just can't afford their medicine, or, you know, it's a challenge for them. So they went to a retailer, a brand here with several retail stores, and I'm not going to name them because they're not seeking attention and have asked us to be discreet, but well within the law, have set up a program that allows them to donate product that's just expired, or maybe the seal is broken, but otherwise it's uncompromised. It might be the label is smudged or torn off, and so there might be, you know, it's an imperfect product, but a very usable good product that otherwise is required by law to be destroyed. And that means like being composted, ground up with sawdust or mulch and made unusable, you know, to keep people from diving into dumpsters for it and that sort of thing. But this product is, I mean, I don't have a firm number for you because those numbers are not in front of me, but a tremendous amount of waste. And I'm going just on when you extrapolate what we're getting in donations to the many, many brands just in our state, way too much stuff's going into the landfill and too many people are missing the opportunity. So what they do is they'll call us and say, like their product manager will say, hey, I've got a donation set aside for you. It's stuff that didn't sell or won't sell or is about to expire. Can you come pick it up? And then we have a network of patients that we reach out to either individually or on a kind of mass email and say, hey, we got more product in. Let us know what you need. And then we make up little gift bags. So if you think of it, it's kind of like a food bank model, but for cannabis products. And it's so wonderful. And I get to play Canna Claus, I call it, right? I get to donate to patients who some are very capable of buying their medicine, but might be challenged in getting to the store or for whatever reason, just haven't considered cannabis yet. So it's such a joy to me to be able to pack a bag with some topicals, maybe some RSO or flower or suppositories or whatever the product might be, because we never know what we're going to get. and then share it with the person and say, hey, look, if you've got friends that could also benefit, let us know. Because sometimes, occasionally, we'll have more product than we have patients for a period of time, and then it levels off again. But boy, it is a fantastic program. A shout out to SMJ Consulting, and a shout out to our unnamed licensed retailer who takes the time to do this. And I really don't see the downside. And I really hope that this model can be expanded, explored for other locations. It does depend on a certain number of volunteers, because I, as an individual, can only possess so much cannabis, even if it's with the intention of giving it away. I have to be within my legal limits as a patient. So, you know, there's some limitations, but with more volunteers and more places donating, we can have that much more impact. But really, really proud to be able to be part of that. And if any of your listeners are in Washington State, specifically in the Seattle region, and I can help them, they can reach out to me and through the Academy, and I'm happy to talk to them and help them out if we're able to do so.
That is really powerful, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. We got about a half, we have about a minute maybe left to talk. What kind of final thoughts would you have to leave us about the Academy of Cannabis Science?
Oh, you know, it's just been such a pleasure. We didn't know how expansive our opportunity would be in the space. And like I said, we started with just the one class. Now we've got about a dozen classes, including a class in Spanish now. We're starting to branch off into psychedelic medicine research. And so we started with the psilocybin class. And like I mentioned earlier, we've had the benefit of talking to Dr. Nathan Sackett, who's directing that new department over at UW, and he's going to be doing some research on people who, so the people in participating in the study will both be veterans and people who have substance use disorder problems. So they're going to be doing that in the next couple of years, but able to interview him and incorporate what he's lectured or talked to us about in the classroom. And then we're going to be expanding that to also MDMA, LSD, and some other plant medicine and novel therapeutic approaches that kind of fit in this broader category. Although our name is cannabis, we think some of those opportunities are under advertised. We've seen a great explosion in the psilocybin space, of course, but we know there's a lot of interest from the public in this, and whatever we can do to spread the knowledge, science-based, fact-based knowledge about this, we want people to be informed so they can explore for themselves in their own health.
You know, Trey, for many years with Seattle Hemp Fest, you know, I had a saying, and that is, if you want to reform, first you have to inform, right. Which is why what you're doing is so important. Trey Reckling of academyofcannabisscience.com, thank you so much for your innovative work and for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, and have a good afternoon.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely.
That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find your voice and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. The Hemp Present intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rann, and the outro music is Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush. See you next time. Stay strong. Marijuana!
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.